Welcome to the Moral and Ethical Leadership Podcast, hosted by the BYU Management Society Salt Lake Chapter. I'm Dave Austin.
And I'm Kurt Frankum.
And part of the mission of the BYU Management Society Salt Lake Chapter is to provide scholarships to service-oriented high school seniors.
Each year, approximately 50 deserving students are awarded scholarships to local colleges and trade schools.
And if your family or business would like to join in providing scholarships to these future leaders by sponsoring a podcast, please contact us at byupodcast.slc@gmail.com, and we'd love to speak with you. And each time we do one of these interviews, I am so excited for the opportunity. I feel like I learn more than anyone by virtue of the chance to listen to each of our amazing guests. And today we have the incredible opportunity to meet with Amy Antonelli. Amy Antonelli is the CEO of Humanitarian Experience, Inc., formerly known as HEFY, an independent 501c3 nonprofit organization. This summer, HXP will send over 5,000 teenagers out on sustainable humanitarian trips to 47 emerging locations around the world. Prior to her work with HXP, Amy acted as a spokesperson for Apple's executive officers, including CEO Steve Jobs, and was instrumental in building PowerSchool, Inc., leading up to its acquisition by Apple. She subsequently led an initiative with the leadership team at Facebook, including Mark Zuckerberg, to develop a more mission-driven internal community, and another initiative with the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints to develop a global self-reliance mentoring strategy. Amy received a Bachelor of Arts from BYU and a Master's degree from Harvard. She served a mission in Italy and Malta, and as the first executive director of Rising Star Outreach, she spent seven of the best years of her life living and working among the people of the leprosy colonies in rural India. Amy, welcome, and thank you for being here.
Thank you. I'm so honored to be invited and to be a part of what you guys are doing here. It's wonderful.
I just want to know, what's your favorite destination that you've been to?
I really have a hard time answering that question because there's so many amazing places all over the world. But when pressed, I think I might have to say there's a little tiny island off the coast of Fiji called Wailailai. Mm-hmm. And you can climb a volcano and get to the top, and you can see the 360 degree of the entire South Pacific, and that might be my favorite place on earth.
All right. Put that on my list. Yeah. Nice. And in our luncheon, Amy, you talked about this concept that really intrigued me, this creating a visionary vision. Is that what it was?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And I appreciate that because, you know, visions are somewhat very cliche in organizations or leadership. You know, they put them in lobbies or, you know, make them look fancy, and but they're harder to connect with without that vision. And
yeah, it was an idea that I learned about when I was working at Facebook, when Mark Zuckerberg had asked us to try to create a more mission-driven internal community. And so we brought in a whole bunch of experts from academia who had studied this stuff and really focused hard on what creates powerful visions. And so you're probably familiar with Adam Grant, who is out of Wharton. So we worked with Adam, and it was one of the guys on Adam's team, actually, that first kind of created this concept for me of a visual vision. When I first heard the term, I didn't understand what he meant, but he gave me some great examples of what he was talking about. And the idea is that you have to kind of create a very clear idea of where you're going, what you're doing, and where you're going, so that people who are hearing it can actually envision it in their mind. So, for example, John F. Kennedy in 1963 came out and just said to the entire country, in the next decade, man will have taken his first step onto the moon. And that concept lit up the country. You know, there's still these stories of little boys that like laid out in their backyard staring up at the sky and dreaming of going to the moon. But this idea of a visual vision is so galvanizing for people. There's other examples like the ones I shared today in the meeting, like of a company that's an environmental resources company out in San Francisco, and their visual vision is a city of green rooftops. Or another one that's a robotics company that works with disabled people, and their visual vision is within the next 2 years, 1 million people will have stood up out of their wheelchair and taken their first step. For us in India and our work with the leprosy colonies, we worked hard on creating a visual vision as well. And when we came up with it, it was very motivating for all of us every single day that we went to work. And ours was that this will be the last generation of leprosy beggars that you'll see on the streets of India. And anybody that's been to India understands what it means to see the leprosy-affected people begging on the streets. And the idea that that's no longer going to even be any kind of a phenomenon is pretty motivating and inspiring to people. So
incredible.
Yeah.
Amy, our kids, our three oldest, have each had the incredible privilege to go to HXP trips around the world. And it truly has been a privilege for them and for us as parents, especially, to be able to see. Your theme is There Will Be Miracles. And would just love to have you talk for a second about maybe some of the miracles you've seen. I will just share that my daughter Banner was in Malawi, and she had her foot was in cement just day after day, mixing cement, you know, in the puddles, and kind of got some real disease on her foot. And Jordan is actually just sharing that she was the one peeling back the bandages and saying, and Banner's like, "Is it bad?" And she's like, "It's really bad." And she had a blessing from David and Spencer, and they were able to, and she, her foot, and it was a true miracle, you know, completely healed. And I just curious if you have any that come to the top of your mind, any miracles that you've seen.
Oh man, it's literally impossible for me to say, to find a miracle story here or there that stands out among others. I'll tell you a couple of stories, but the truth is, we've got 5,000 kids going out this summer, and I promise you every single one of them will be able to see miracles. That was one of the coolest things that we found in our data research to sort of measure our impact. We ask the kids when they're coming home, "Did you see a miracle?" And last year, 98% of the kids that went on our trip said that, yes, that they had seen miracles. And so I think it's really incredible to think about how powerful that idea is, that a miracle is not just a nice, good thing that happens in your life, like a regular, everyday occurrence. A miracle is something extraordinary that happens as a result of co-creating something with God, like God's intervention as a result of faith. And the idea that that can happen in every single one of our lives when we petition with faith and when we believe that God will act. Sometimes the miracles don't happen the way we think they're going to happen. In a lot of cases, that's not that's not what ends up happening. But most of the time, the miracles that happen are better than what people originally thought, because God knows what the bigger picture is for all of our lives. I think when I think about some of the individual miracles that I know about, most of them are largely kids that came on our trips feeling hopeless or feeling no desire whatsoever to understand the gospel for themselves, or feeling, you know, marginalized for some way in the gospel community, or even just being fine in church but not really having any kind of an interest in God or discovering who they are in the light of the restored gospel. And for me, the beautiful thing that happens when they dedicate all of their time and effort and blood, sweat, and tears to serving people is that somehow they tap into this version of themselves that's better than anything that they could have ever dreamed of. They see, for the first time in a lot of cases, the very best version of who they can become. And then they come home and they spend the rest of their lives chasing after that. Every year when kids come home, we have our trip leaders give a little bit of a review of each kid. And sometimes if a kid had big problems on the trip or anything, the trip leaders are right about it. If the kid tries to apply again the next year, I'll usually give that kid a call and just make sure that they really want to come back and this is something that they really want to do. And so that happened a couple of years ago. We had a girl trying to apply that had had some challenges the year before. And so I called her up and ended up talking to her dad, and I just said, "You know, look, are you forcing her to come on this trip, or does she really want to come?" And he said, let me just tell you the story. He's like, when we first signed her up, she was so angry with us because she had actually been so bullied by the girls in her ward that she didn't want to have anything to do with the church. And we sort of pushed her onto this trip. And for the first few days of the trip, she was so closed down because she was afraid of this happening again. And he said, "We don't actually know what happened." He said, "At some point, though, she changed." And actually, the trip leader, when they'd written their reviews, had mentioned that she'd had a kind of a big turnaround on the trip. And he said, "I don't know exactly whether it was service with the local people, or whether it was falling in love with the people in her group, or whether it was the impact of her trip leaders, or whether it was just reading the scriptures daily for the first time and really understanding the love of her Heavenly Father for her. But he said when she came down the elevator in the airport, we looked up and we saw that we had our daughter back. And he said for the first time in years, we saw that girl again that we knew that she was. And he said she's been night and day different since then. He said she's like in the young women's presidency or something now. And she's so bought into the idea of the gospel because she's seen it as a completely different experience. And she's seen it as something that means something deep for her now. I think that the miracles that happen are individual like that in almost every case. But I can tell you a million stories like that.
Yeah. That's awesome. And, you know, we're obviously coming out of a tricky travel season with pandemics and whatnot. But and there's it seems to be a huge demand for what you're doing. And obviously, you only have capacity to do so much. So what should people expect with the future of an organization like HXP?
Yeah, I think that our objective is always to accommodate as many kids as want to come on our trips. I mean, we're gonna continue to grow as long as this continues to have the impact that it does, and as long as there's kids that want to go on our trip. We're 100% aligned with the vision and values of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and so, you know, the church right now is not doing this, but if at any point they decided that they wanted to do something like this or take this over, this is something that we would absolutely work with them to do. Mm-hmm. I think the miracle of HXP and the kids that go on these trips is hard to quantify in terms of like an objective number or something like that, because it's not in the largeness of the numbers of kids, it's in the individual lives that get changed by it. We say that if you can get on the airplane, if you can still walk when you get on the airplane at the end of your trip, you maybe haven't given us quite enough. But when they just give their whole hearts to service, you know what it's like. There's a love that results from that that's really unlike any other love you know from your missions, right? I mean, it's like you just can't replicate that in any other way. And I think once they sort of tap into that, then that's all they want for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
So. The other thing I was really struck from what you were talking about was just maybe, and I wonder if you could talk a little bit about what do you do in your life when it doesn't go according to plan, right? When it doesn't, you have kind of a set objective, and when that doesn't work out the way that you're hoping or thinking or expecting, what do you do?
Yeah, I think that's actually one of the coolest things that we learn on these trips, because as careful as we are about planning them, and I have a world-class team, they work their guts out to plan these things down to the penny. But inevitably, the bus doesn't show up, or you know, the activity is rained out, or whatever it is, something goes wrong. What we've learned over the years as we've been running these trips is that often that's where the miracles happen, in the unexpected. I remember I was up on the top of Cotopaxi one time with a bunch of kids, and our bus wouldn't start. And it was like freezing cold and the bus wouldn't start. And I've got 19 kids standing there trying to figure out what I'm going to do. And it was getting later and later and starting to get dark. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I'm stuck in the middle of Ecuador. What am I going to do here? And so finally we just started putting kids in groups of three and four and like in random people's cars, just so we could get them off the mountain before it got too cold. But the stories that came out of that day where the kids met people and shared the gospel with them or experienced some way where they could bless their lives, or the kids' lives were blessed, was like, oh, that was absolutely what was supposed to happen. You know, our bus was supposed to break down. And kind of adopting that mindset of, we call it rainstorms. It's in the rainstorms that the miracles actually happen, and looking for them instead of panicking because it didn't go according to plan, but actually figuring out what the miracle is in that has been one of the coolest, most rewarding, and I think life lessons that I've taken from my experience at HXP. We had a story a couple of years ago when I was in Tonga, and I got a phone call. This is a really tragic story. I got a phone call where two of our builders who had been serving in Mexico, they were a brother and sister, and their parents had died in a plane crash that morning. Mm. And so I was on a work site in Tonga, and the stake president for their stake happened to be there helping us. And he gathered everybody around the workers and the builders, the kids and all of us, and asked us all to kneel down and pray for these two kids that none of us had ever met. And the prayer that he offered was so beautiful and so full of love, and every single one of the builders, the kids on that trip, were just crying. And before we kneeled down, I sent a little message to our trip leader cohort, which was spread out all over the world, and just said, guys, right now, please pray for these two kids. This next few hours are going to be the worst moments of their lives. Mm-hmm. And so we had this beautiful prayer, and as we stood up, I started getting these messages from trip leaders, and it was like prayers from Cambodia, prayers from Peru, mm-hmm. prayers from Ghana, prayers from Malawi, and I just had this vision of like all these groups of kids kneeling down all over the world in that moment, like praying for these two kids that they'd never met. But I think there's such a power in collective miracles that we can activate when we come together in love. And I think that HXP shows that in such vivid relief that maybe that's the biggest overall miracle that comes out of it.
Yeah, it's probably a good place to finish. I don't think we could finish any better than that. We are so grateful to you, Amy, for taking your time. We're going into the really busy season right now for HXP, and we will keep you in our prayers as well as you're getting ready to send 5,000 kids
Thank
out
you.
Over the, the summer.
I really appreciate that. Thank you so much. All of you listening, please do.
Thank you. Thank you to all of our listeners. We'll be back again next month with a new episode of our Moral and Ethical Leadership Podcast.
So nice to be here, you guys. Thanks so much.